John, first, congratulations. This is this must be quite a deal. Has this been a career goal of yours?
Oh, no, thanks. You know, when I first got hired here, if you had told me I'd be the chief of police someday, I would have laughed at you. Not because it just wasn't on my radar. When I got hired here in 2005, I was just really happy to be employed by the Sioux Falls Police Department. Just really excited about what was ahead of me, and really wasn't thinking that far down the road. Was really just thinking about my immediate job of figuring out how to do a very difficult job and kind of building from there. So as things have gone down the road a little bit, you know, certain paths just start opening and developing. And when Chief Burns announced his retirement, it just seemed that something that was in line with the path that I had taken through this department so far, and a challenge that I was willing to step up for and accept and really serve the community in that capacity.
So being the chief of police sounds like one of the most thankless jobs you could possibly have in Sioux Falls. Why did you want to become the chief?
Yeah, so you would be naive to think that this job doesn't come with a certain amount of other issues that come along with it, right? And so I think fully aware of what it means to be the head of a police department. But really, again, coming back to the path that has opened up for me, what really drove me to law enforcement from the start was a sense of service. I come from a family of people who have served their country, served their community, and it really was in line with what I wanted to do for my profession. And as things have developed, really, again, there's maybe some people would ask, why would you want this job? But I think really the sense of service that drives me has driven me this way towards a job that I can really serve the community, my fellow officers in law enforcement, in the best way that I think I can. And again, though, I not naive to the challenges that lie ahead, but also excited at the prospect of what we can accomplish as a city. I think while many times we talk just about the police department, it really is a citywide initiative, a citywide effort. When we talk about public safety and creating the best possible Sioux Falls we can.
Is crime increasing in Sioux Falls? I've been covering the police briefings now for about 4 years. Usually don't see me. I'm covering it remotely, listening sure. to your guys' feed. Once in a while I go. But it seems like more violent crime, particularly with the shootings in the neighborhood, not necessarily that anybody's hurt. But is the crime rate any worse than it was a few years ago, or is just the number of crimes up because we're a growing community?
Well, if you look at it, and again, I'm a lifelong Sioux Falls resident, and I remember coming into town because we have family in Bridgewater, South Dakota. So we drive back into town on West 12th Street, and there was a sign, Sioux Falls population 80,000, I think, at the time from the 1980 census. And now we're sitting here at the cusp of 200,000 people, growing more and more each day. And there's just a natural uptick in events that take place when cities grow. But even when I was younger, when I first got this job, I had no idea what actually happened in Sioux Falls on a day-to-day basis. If I wasn't acutely aware of even what the news was covering or anything else. But when I got this job, I'm like, oh, there's a lot more action in Sioux Falls than I ever anticipated. Well, with today's media and that 24-hour cycle of news, we as residents are just way more aware of what's happening. The daily press briefing that we do that most agencies around the country don't provide that level of providing day-to-day information of what's happening. And we usually hit the events that are of public interest, which include those gunshot calls. But saying all that, I would say there definitely has been an uptick of gun violence in the past couple years. And it really is something that's concerning to all of us. And it's going to take a system-wide effort to really address that. Because if we're talking about gun violence, when the shots have already been fired, it's really too late to stop it, right? And so what are we doing before young people make these choices to use weapons or get involved with guns? But then again, what are we doing afterwards? Are we holding them accountable and making changes in behavior that will really be sustainable for our community? And I think that's the really the community-wide conversation that has to happen, because many times we do our job of locating and apprehending people who are responsible for this, but if we're not talking about the before and after, then we're missing big parts of the conversation.
You think the change in gun laws in South Dakota, going from needing a concealed carry permit to the constitutional carry, where if you can carry a gun as long as you're not a felon or there's no background check, has that been a contributing factor, or do you see as some other factors contributing to, you know, these, seems like weekly or even a couple of times a week shooting incidents?
Yeah, well, you know, these go, and again, the laws are the laws, and we respect the laws that are made by the government and by the people. But I would say that the criminal element really doesn't care what those laws are anyway. They were already carrying guns even when they weren't supposed to, whether they were prohibited or felons or even underage and shouldn't have guns out of the street anyway. So the laws are worth noting, but not really driving factors. I think a lot of what drives it is, well, A, there's one thing. We as a community seem to have a knack of leaving our cars unlocked with guns in them to provide the criminal element the tools they need to make these choices. And again, we're not victim blaming, but again, if we can keep guns out of people's hands, I think that's something we can all agree is a step worth taking. But then again, some of the attitudes some people have now towards guns and towards violence is just a little bit alarming. And I think that's where we step up either early intervention in the schools or within the community and say, hey, you know, this is not a practice that is supported, right? In fact, we as a community condemn violence with guns and want that noted and people held accountable for the actions that they take in regards to that.
You know, in Thursday's police briefing, Sergeant Forrester said there were 5 stolen cars that were unlocked with the keys in them. And I know Officer Clemens, almost every news conference, or at least a couple of times a week, will say, please lock your cars. You know, we're seeing this. Is that a uniquely Sioux Falls problem, or is that something that we see in other communities where people are so trusting they're not locking their cars and trucks and leaving the keys in the vehicles?
No, there's still a certain level I'll be honest, other cities have issues like this as well. And but still, there's a lot of people in Sioux Falls, in the surrounding communities, that still haven't figured out we should lock our houses at all times. We should lock our vehicles at all times. We simply are generally trusting in people to make good choices. However, we also have to not be naive to the fact that there's people out there that want to take advantage of people who are trusting. And lock your vehicle. And again, I know sometimes I look at it and they think the Sioux Falls Police Department are victim shaming or, you know, telling people that, you know, it's more important who's stealing the cars as opposed to who's keeping their car unlocked. But the reality is that we all play a part in this. And I know I don't want my car stolen. So I'm kind of maybe obsessive compulsive about it. I check it every night and make sure it's locked, hit my remote a couple times, make sure I get my lights to flash. And I just make that part of my nightly routine to make sure my cars are locked and I know where my keys are.
What do you think is the biggest crime problem facing Sioux Falls? I know Mayor Tin Haken had the neighborhood drug task force to try to get at the I don't want to say petty, but small drug dealers and users and so forth. And that looks like that's been successful. Is it meth? Is it something else that you think is our largest problem for crime in Sioux Falls?
You know, there's a lot of avenues we try to look at this. And I think, you know, we try to take different views and what topics are there at the moment. But many of the issues we're dealing with right now are issues that we were dealing with when I started my career as far as drugs. But, you know, drugs change. You know, there's hardly any heroin here or any fentanyl. When I started, it was meth and marijuana, right? Well, then that's changed, or we see heroin come in and out, fentanyl now making a more prominent step. So everything changes and kind of goes through different evolutions through time. And we have to be able to adapt to that. And for example, last summer we had a string of pretty violent shootings. So we changed our approach. We redoubled our efforts in that group that was responsible for those shootings. We made sure we dealt with that moment at that time. We had a string of fentanyl overdoses for a while. And so we had to pivot one direction, make sure we were putting extra resources towards that. We are constantly chasing a moving target. And then when it comes down to a lot of stuff too, if you ask a lot of people what the biggest problem in town is, it's speeders, right? Because that's one of the number one complaints we get on any media platform or through our request management is people speeding. A lot of what we deal with is human behavior and making choices that really that are not what's best for the community and for the public, whether it's speeding or drugs or anything in between. I think that's where you see a lot of public education pieces from us, where we try to push out, hey, here's why this is with the way it is. Here's some rules and laws you need to respect. But again, that's something we share as a community-wide message. I remember a couple years ago, we shot a promo for Slow Down through downtown Sioux Falls. We put a lot of effort into what I thought, of course, because I helped make it, was a pretty cool video involving the USF and Aggie mascots, trying to make something a little bit fresh, a little bit different. Put it out on social media, and it gained like zero traction. Nobody retweeted it. Nobody shared it because it wasn't maybe very glamorous, like when we talk about some of the other things that police and crimes and things like that. And I think the message that we want to carry through the community as far as safety and this being an issue we're all part of is something we can all share. So if stuff's out there, and if you want to share some of those messages and not just, you know, as a resident of Sioux Falls and your social media, share some of the other messages too. And I think we can work together at creating a narrative that is really one Sioux Falls being, you know, looking out for each other and making sure that we make safe, good choices.
Well, I know we do a lot of stories about locking your vehicle doors.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get that message out there at Telo Radio. What did you learn from Chief Burns?
So when Chief Burns came to office, like I said, he's had a great tenure here and really put our position in a position of strength. And how he's done that is he's had to weather some storms. Like I said, we've had many things that have happened during his tenure as a city, and he's weathered each one of them. But in many ways, it's because he was prepared. He looked ahead, looked at what was likely going to happen in the future, and made sure we had preparation to make sure that was in place. Again, I kind of come back to some of the civil unrest we had last summer. Many people thought that wasn't anything that would ever happen in Sioux Falls. And so that's just not something we would have to deal with. Why would we spend money, time, and training to be ready for something that we never have to deal with? Well, the reality is it did happen. But because of his foresight and others within the department making sure we were prepared, we had the equipment, training, and personnel we needed to deal with that challenge at that moment. And again, it's something I hope we never have to deal with again in town, but we were ready for the moment based on his preparation and his foresight. I think that's something we can really take away, all of us, from Chief Burns' tenure, is to always be looking on the horizon for what's ahead, ready to make moves, ready to be prepared. And I think that's something we can't do enough as a police department.
Well, I won't be able to call you Lieutenant for much longer. Anything else, John, that you want to say before we go?
No, I guess thanks for the opportunity. I think, you know, over the past couple of weeks, it seems like my face has been on news a lot. We've talked a lot of different things, and I want to thank the city for the process of selecting that next police chief to give the public the opportunity to kind of interact with us and hear what we had to say. I can tell you this, that the candidates that put in across the board were phenomenal, and any one of them could have found this position that I'm in today. I'm here, and it's humbling, and I know that the people around us have expectations of us that we want to maintain. But again, it comes back to the question I think you asked at the start of the interview, which is, why would you want to get into this position? Or what we've heard a lot through the past couple of years is, why would you want to be a police officer? And I think that's something that keeps coming up. And I can answer that very simply, is that every day I come to work and I know the group of people that I work with are some of the finest individuals I've ever met. And I say that 100% genuine, because I'm shocked, and just, I'm not shocked, I'm just amazed every day about the quality of what they do. And I know the quality of work they do and the impact they make in the community every single day. And that's why you want to do this profession. Additionally, I know the great community that we live in. Like I said, across the country, when people are calling to defund the police, our city says, no, we want to make sure the police have what they need to function and create as best safe Sioux Falls as possible. And again, while I may have gotten a lot of obscene gestures and words over the past year, I've also never had more meals bought for me randomly, cups of coffee. People give me the thumbs up and kind words when I drive by them. And I think that's the strength we take. An outstanding police department in an outstanding city. And that's why you want to do this profession, so you can serve your community and make that difference. So I appreciate your time, Todd, at having me on. And again, I'm sure we'll chat in the future.
Well, John, thank you very much. Congratulations. I wish you the best of luck, and I hope you have a good reign as our next chief of police in Sioux Falls.
Well, we can both agree on that, Todd. I hope so, too. So, again, thanks for the time, and I appreciate talking to you. So.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Have a good day.